This is Pat Tomlinson in Illinois, and I'm talking with Dr. Brian Gardner, Technical Director for Ag Spectrum, who's in his home office near Columbus, Ohio. Brian, how are you doing today?
Doing well.
Great. Well, I wanted to visit with you today about something that we don't spend a lot of time on, and maybe there's a good reason that we don't, but at the same time, I think it's something that Ag Spectrum associates need to have some level of familiarity with in order to deal with the questions that they may encounter from growers. And I'm talking about the salt index. In many discussions of in-furrow fertilizer placement, farmers are often told to be very aware of the salt index of the products they use in order to avoid seedling damage. Let's begin with a real basic question. What is the salt index?
Well, the salt index really is just a simple measure of the relative change in osmolarity of a solution containing that particular fertilizer. It's been used since the 40s as a tool to compare products, but it really doesn't tell the whole story about the risks posed by fertilizer use, even though that's often how it's used in the industry.
Okay. I have to say that osmolarity is a term that comes up fairly infrequently in my daily conversations. Maybe you can help me out there.
Sure. Every living thing has a certain amount of water and salts dissolved in their cells. So roots are just the same as people in that regard. And the amount of salts in solution, and in fact, all the compounds in solution, affect whether or not water flows into or out of that tissue. So when a root's growing into soil that has a low osmotic potential, then the water will tend to flow into the plant tissues. If, however, there's a lot of salts that are out in the soil, then water will tend to flow out of the plant and away from the tissue, shrinking and causing either tissue damage or some other type of necrosis. So when people talk about salt indexes, they often think that, well, if I put down a very salty fertilizer, then I'm going to create a risk for damaging the crop. And that is generally true for young crops, but again, it's not the whole story.
As we think about the term salts in the context of chemical properties of a solution, can you help us differentiate that from the way we likely think of salt in our non-fertility discussions as a form of sodium?
One of the challenges here is that what saltiness means gets confused with our general understanding of salt that we use for flavoring. As it turns out, pretty much all fertilizers are disproportionately a mix of cations and anions. And so when you put them into water, they dissolve like salt. And how much of each of those ions exists per volume affects the saltiness of that solution. So when you see a table of salt indices that shows numbers that go from over 100 to down to about 5 or 10, what that's indicating is that for a given amount of material in actual weight and a fixed volume of solution, one will release more ions and or affect the flow of water from tissues to varying degrees.
Let's try to shift from the theoretical to the more practical situation of how an Ag Spectrum associate should talk about the salt index of our products if asked by growers.
Right. I think that associates should first remember that it's just one measure of the risk that plants face when you're using fertilizers. Fertilizers actually can damage plants if they aren't applied properly according to five R's, the right rate, placement, time, forming, and formulation. So when we think about our fertilizer program, we have both the in-furrow and the banded fertilizer component at planting, and that's really the time when we can be talking about our program and how we use fertilizers versus a more conventional program that relies on broadcast. So the second thing I'd like associates to remember is that as a rule, there are more risk associated with nitrogen fertilizers than just the salt index. So people often confuse those two issues, but they are separate. When you apply nitrogen fertilizer into the soil, some of it will be transformed into ammonia or ammonium ions very quickly. And if the concentration is too high, that free ammonia can also damage the plant. So you have both the osmolarity risk or the saltiness risk and the ammonia toxicity risk when you're talking about nitrogen fertilizers. The third thing that I'd like associates to remember is that while there's all sorts of general rules that get bantered about in the industry, the most important thing to remember is that our in-furrow program is based on both the scientific research as well as experience about what safe rates should be applied, and the combination of our in-furrow plus the banded provides an extra level of safety that one does not have if one relies strictly on in-furrow and or broadcast.
I think that's consistent with the strategy I've encouraged associates to use, which is to recognize that when a grower is asking about a salt index, he's really asking about crop safety. So we need to try to broaden the discussion and not focus just on that single metric. What other tests or standards are used when we evaluate our products for crop safety?
Well, the research that went into developing our rates included a direct measurement of the EC, or the saltiness of the soil solution, in the furrow and in the band. We are also have additional research looking at the transformation rates of nitrogen in both of those products. That type of research depth is often lacking and really isn't considered when all you're looking at is a table of the salt index. So you're right. The issue that farmers are concerned about is really, is there a risk of crop damage? And I'll say this, that the risk is always greatest in cool, dry, and sandy soils with little organic matter. But that's taken into account by the maximum farming system recommendations, because information around the CEC, the texture, and the organic matter is built into the soil test. And the rates that we recommend are going to be safe even if growers are planting into cool and dry soils.
So it really provides one more reason to have clients' soil tests from Midwest Labs in our system to make sure we're able to take all the relevant aspects of the soil properties into consideration when our recommendations are formulated.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, you know, for associates, whenever they have a prospect or a customer who's wanting to focus on the salt index, they should turn the conversation towards what growers really need to pay attention to avoid damaging their newly planted crops. And the useful rules to remember is that low salt fertilizer formulations should be used in furrow, and Clean Start is a low salt fertilizer. It has a low salt index. In fact, it's somewhat less than 10-34-0 and other common in-furrow fertilizers. And it's also formulated with some coformulants that minimize the effect of that difference in osmolarity between the root and the soil solution. The second rule is that one needs to limit the rates of nitrogen-containing fertilizers based on local soil types and prevailing conditions. And again, that's taken into account in the maximum farming recs. And then the third is that really both the grower and the associate should be relying on research and experience that they have to guide towards optimal rates, placement, timing, forms, and formulations. That's not found in a table on salt index. That comes through a deep knowledge of the maximum farming system.
The other thing I think about with the products we provide Ag Spectrum customers is the form. The fifth R, right form. In the case of our in-furrow products, we use food-grade phosphorus in Clean Start as opposed to the more common industrial byproduct forms of phosphorus that are common in many fertilizer products. We also make specific rate recommendations appropriate to a specific field. How do these aspects of our approach impact a salt index calculation, or more importantly, align with crop safety considerations?
Well, the choice of which materials are used, you know, which form of phosphorus and nitrogen definitely affect the salt index. But it's really the combination of all of the ingredients that determine how much of a risk there is to changing osmolarity. But that's just about the form. If you take into account the idea of rate limitations, then you can adjust up or down for any type of form you may choose. And when you further consider placement, how far away from the furrow or whether or not it needs to be in the furrow, that also can allow you to adjust the rates accordingly. So while it's easy to create a safe rate for any type of fertilizer, and you can use the guide of the salt index to do that, it's really only through the combination of understanding the form and the impact that form has on the soil solution that gives you that full system understanding of which forms are going to perform the best. You pointed out that we use a food grade phosphorus form in our Clean Start. And that, of course, is one of the things that allows our formulations to perform better than most of the other ones on the market, because the total formulation of Clean Start allows for a greater efficiency of uptake of the phosphorus, and that has benefits to the crop as it grows.
I'm wondering, Brian, is it accurate to think that when a grower is working with a branded fertilizer product and specific recommendations for his soils, it's probably going to be difficult for him to use a salt index as an absolute indication of crop safety? I think the grower needs to have confidence in the company and the people he's dealing with, because they're the ones that need to be taking crop safety most seriously, and they're the ones that are in the position of knowing all the product components, the ECE or electrical conductivity test results, specific soil tests, product rate recommendations, and all the relevant information about crop safety.
Absolutely. You know, as I mentioned at the beginning of this conversation, the salt index is really just a tool for comparing forms in pure water. And that's a starting point for talking about crop safety, but it's far from the whole story. An associate and the customer really needs to understand how we apply the five R's to really appreciate how the system fits together and improves nutrient use efficiency in every application from planting through reproductive phase.
Well, I think that's probably a good summary and maybe a good place for us to close, Brian. Thanks again for being so generous with your time. Have a great day.
Great. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.